Well, it's a beautiful morning and a beautiful day to come and to serve the Lord. Appreciate everybody being with us. We have a lot of visitors, and we're glad that you're able to come out and to be with us tonight. Hope that you will come back tonight to listen to Brother Bruce preach. Appreciate all the men that take the time and energy and the work that it takes in presenting these lessons. The only problem with tonight is that halfway through, point of order, Your Honor. So, you know, I'm encouraged by the men being able to get up and speak. We've had some great lessons, and I know that they would greatly encourage with you being with us this evening also. Let's open our Bibles and study together from the Word of God. We know that when we talk about sin, that it is a transgression of the law of God. John tells us in his epistle that whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. It is recognized that there's no difference between one sin and another. We may say that this is, you know, a black lie or a white lie, but a lie is a lie, and it doesn't really make any difference. We know that there are some sins that are probably more heinous in nature or conduct and consequence. You know, murder is a sin, but it has a far greater and far-reaching consequence than maybe stealing a candy bar or things. Although there's a similarity, of course, to the crime that is there. Sexual immorality that is found in fornication or adultery or homosexuality, it has, you know, a greater sense of consequence to it. And sometimes we think of sin as, well, now this is really a big sin. Well, this is just, you know, this is just a little sin, and it's not that bad. It's just, you know, something that's maybe not as serious as the other. Well, you know, we want to live in a manner that while, you know, we sin, we don't want to be judged according to those kinds of sins of the major category of sins, as we like to think about. And when you read 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 and 10, you realize that, yes, there's a whole list of things that, you know, I just don't want to put in my life at fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuals, sodomites, and thieves, and covetous, and drunkards, and revilers, and all those kind of things. And, of course, Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 about how that all liars are going to, you know, to be cast into, you know, the pit of hell and all of that. So sin is sin. But, you know, we have sometimes the idea that, well, there is a difference in things about sin. You remember in the Old Testament that the Ten Commandments, they're always a popular subject in the world today. We always want to erect these things somewhere and make a big deal out about, you know, putting out the Ten Commandments. I'm not altogether against those kind of things, but sometimes I think we miss the point about what really God has intended about the Ten Commandments. But, you know, the Ten Commandments were really a code of living that was a code of trying to instill upon the people of God a means by giving their focus upon one thing. You remember the first two commandments, it said that thou shalt have no other gods before me. In a sense, he could have stopped right there and said, that's it. I mean, anything else beyond that is just obviously what it is. You will have no other gods before me. He goes on and says that, well, obviously, you know, I won't have any carved images of God. I don't want you to reshape him into your image. I don't want you to take the holy image of God and put him into some image like man to make him to represent some totem of some kind. And you know, that's some pretty serious things. And we realize that the children of Israel indeed were punished because they did that. They went after idolatry and God sent them into captivity because they fell down and worshiped all of those idols and those kinds of things. And so, yeah, and you remember there's always that thou shalt not murder thing and you shalt not commit adultery. And, you know, and again, we sort of regulate those things like, well, now those are some serious sins and we shouldn't be able to do those kind of things. And the children of Israel, they should have understood that those kinds of things are just very sinful. But often it is the third commandment that we sometimes miss, that we don't really maybe think is as serious as we should. He says in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Now we look at that passage and we see that God has said you'll have no other gods, and you're not going to make any graven images. And the third part of this series is, and you're going to give honor to my name. You're going to respect what's holy. You're going to give honor to what is holy, because not only is my presence holy by the fact that you will have no other gods, by the fact that you will not recreate me in the image of man to make me unholy, you will be careful and be mindful about my name. Now, God's code of ethics is very simple. It's actually a very simple law that God has given. It begins with two principles teaching us how to relate to Him. Put God first and take God as He is. That's Commandments 1 and 2. Put God first, take God as He is. But the third principle of God that He gave His people is respect what is holy. Put God first, take God as He is, but respect what's holy. And what is holy is the name of God. Names mean something. Names are very important. I mean, we have names for various reasons, and maybe we're named after somebody, or maybe there's a relative, you know, that we are honoring by our name, or maybe they just draw us out of a book. I mean, these days, you know, you can watch television and get names off of there. But the fact of the matter is that names do have a significance to what it means and what we think about those. And so when God gives us His name or His names, and He has so many names, do you know what He's doing? When God gives us His name, He is inviting us to intimacy. He is saying to us, I want to give you my name. There's a lot of names that God has. His name is Jealous. His name is I Am. His name is the Almighty. His name is Yahweh, Jehovah. I mean, you think about who and what He is, and the fact that, you know, what God is saying is that I want you to know who I am. I want to give you my name, and I want you to have an intimacy there. It's like in a relationship of marriage, that when we enter a covenant of marriage, we enter a covenant of intimacy, that we share names with one another. And we share that intimacy because we're wanting to share that. And that's what God is doing, is that He is saying to us, I want you to get to know me. I'm going to tell you what my name is, and I want you to use that name to get to know me. We do not give God names. God volunteers His name to us. And anytime God reveals one of His names to us, He tells us something about His character and His nature. And one of His names, like, is Jealous. That's literally His name. And the reason is because He is jealous. You find that in the Ten Commandments, that the reason He is jealous is He said, listen, there will be no other gods, and you will not make any graven images. That's because His name is Jealous. And that's a significance of what that name means. And so when we talk about the very name of God, we're talking about who He is. We're talking about what He is. The personal name of God, the one mentioned in this command, is Yahweh. It is the name I Am. We have to think about that as a name. We have to think about I Am is a name. The most fundamental characteristic of God is He is. He's not I was. He's not I'm going to be. He is the I Am. And He is the I Am that has been here before the world has been created. He has always been, and He will always be. And that's what His name means, Yahweh. That's what His name signifies, I Am. And that is a name that is to be held in honor and something to be held in respect. And what this tells us is that He is eternal. He has no beginning and has no end. It means that He is sovereign, which means that being the sovereign is that there is no other. There isn't any other. There's not like we can choose one or two or three. There is no other. You will have no other gods before me. That's it. Sovereignty is something we're not familiar with because we live in a democracy, but sovereignty means there is no other. There is one. And His name is singular. His name is there. And there is nothing. And He is over everything. And we've got to respect that. We've got to honor the fact of who He is and how great He is. David, and if you read the Psalms particularly, you will find how often that the name of God is given up in praise and honor. I mean, it is, of course, filled throughout the Scriptures, but particularly in the Psalms, as they proclaim the glory and the majesty of God. David reminds us in Psalm chapter 9 and verse 10, and those who know Your name, those who know Your name will put their trust in You, for You, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek You. Don't miss the point there. For You, Lord, sovereignty everlasting, power, the I am, jealous, the name of the Lord. For those who know your name, we're going to put our trust in the name of the Lord. If you really know God's name, understanding what it is and what it means, I'll trust in that name. Because He is Lord. And so what God is telling us in this command and what He's suggesting is that in the code of ethics of which we live by, we've got to honor Him for what He is. We've got to put God first. And then we've got to realize that in that relationship that not only do we put Him first, but we also take Him as He is. But then when we look at Him, we respect Him because of what He is. He is holiness. And so we honor Him that way. And it has so much, of course, to do with His name. Because His name must not be used in vain. That's what He says. You will not use my name. You will not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain. Because I'm not going to hold you guiltless. Because if you don't respect what is holy, then that means that you don't respect who I am. And you don't respect what I am. And so when He gives us this name to be used, not to be used in vain or connection with vanity, to speak God's name in vain is to speak His name in a manner that is empty. And in a manner that is meaningless, without substance. How can we do that to the name of God? He who created the world, He who holds the world that we have together right now by His word. How can we take the name of God and say, well, it doesn't matter. It means nothing. I mean, there is no name that is greater. It is wrong to take the name of I am, the name that says I never lie, the name that says that I never change, the name that says that I will always be, and to attach it to something that has absolutely no meaning. How can we take the very name of God and say, well, He who has always been, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, how small we are. Oh, Lord, how great your ocean, how small my boat. He is so great and He is so magnificent. He is so mighty. He is so awesome. By the way, that's another name. His name is actually awesome. I guess in some ways we've kind of, maybe not ruined the word, but to us it's like, oh, you know, oh, this is so awesome. And it's not that that's a singular name that we can't use, but it's like, no, God's name is not awesome with a little A. It's an awesome with a big A, you know. He holds the span of the universe in His hand. I mean, that's pretty awesome, right? I mean, how would we degrade that name? How would we take something and make it to be something that it should not be? When we misuse His name, we blaspheme His name. And see, this isn't new. In the days of Isaiah, it says that my name is blasphemed continually every day. Sound familiar? Sound like a world we live in? I think what's fun about the prophets. Are you scared of the prophets? You probably are. Most of the people are scared of the prophets. That's a shame. The prophets are some of the greatest writings. Can I say that? Like, that's the greatest writing of the Bible. Like, you know, the other books are not. I don't mean that. There is so much rich information in the prophets, because what you read about in the prophets, folks, is what we read about today. If you read the New York Times or the Chicago Herald or the Wall Street Journal or not the Gilchrist County Journal, but if you read all of these papers, you're reading the book of the prophets, because they're saying the same thing. And Isaiah is proclaiming, let me tell you, the word of God is being blasphemed every day. And that's what's happening in our world today. And His name must not be used in a profane manner. You have thought about how many times a day probably God's name is used in vain? Throughout the world, different ways. The word profanity is kind of fun to look at. It comes out of two words. Pro is out of and phantom is temple. It literally means that it is something that is taken out of the temple. It's made something as unholy. It has taken something that used to be sacred as being something that is not sacred anymore. A person who profanes something when he takes a holy thing and uses it out of holy context. It's something that is taken, that is consecrated and set apart for God, and yet it is used as if it is a common thing. That's profanity. That is to profane something, use something that is holy in an unholy, you know, manner. Somebody will say, well, I didn't mean anything by it. Oh, yes, we do. Because when we use God's name in vain, we mean what we're saying. We're just profaning God. God's name. We should not utter God's name unless we do something by it, because His name does mean something. God says in this command, we need to respect what's holy. We need to put Him first. We need to honor Him for who He is. And we need to give honor to His name. There are three ways that we profane the name of God. One of them is simply the obvious, that we use it in a cursing, in a very blatant way of which we use God's name in a cursing. A second is that we use it so often as an explanation point, or thirdly, as a cliche. But you know, as a curse, and that's not something that's new again, this has been happening since the beginning of time, is that God's name is used as a curse. And the most common use is the profaning of God's name is by profanity. And remember that when we talk about the name of God, when we talk about this, we also are recognizing this has to do with Jesus Christ too. We're not talking about just God's name, because Jesus Christ and the Father are one. And so often in our world today, Jesus Christ is used as a profanity, as something that is of a cursing. And to use God's name as a curse is, in fact, asking for a damning emphasis upon another. To use God's name in a curse is to ask for a damning emphasis upon another. And here's God's view of that. I will not hold you unaccountable. And if you like, there could have been thunder going and loud bass drums and a trumpet sound. When God says that I am the Lord God, the admonition of Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 11, the restatement of the law, which is what we find in Deuteronomy, is that He says, you will not. You will not take the name of the Lord, your God, in vain, because I am going to hold you accountable. And when the Lord God Almighty, awesome, jealous God, says that He's going to hold us accountable, He doesn't forget. He doesn't ignore it. He doesn't pretend like it didn't happen. He doesn't accept the idea that, well, I didn't mean anything by it. He is going to bring judgment. And as a matter of fact, in the law itself, in the book of Leviticus in chapter 19 and verse 12, we need to note that God is so emphatic about this, is that He tells us in the law what happens when we curse His name. It says that you shall not swear by My name falsely, nor shall you profane the name of your God. Listen to this. I am the Lord. That's a great statement. He says that a lot. And the reason He says that a lot is because there's an emphasis. This is when the thunder comes. This is when the gavel comes down. This is when the boom comes along. And He says that you will not swear by My name and you will not profane My name because I am the Lord. And that's the judgment. That's the seriousness of this whole thing. I find it interesting in the book of Leviticus in chapter 24, there's an interesting story here. We're going to read this. If you like turning your Bibles to Leviticus 24, hopefully you have your Bibles open or reading along together. This is an interesting story because it's kind of contained in all these laws. And all of a sudden we've got something going on, this event. And it's very interesting little event that in Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 10, that there was the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. They got in a fight. And the Israelite woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. Whoa. And they brought him to Moses. His mother's name was Shelmith, the daughter of Dibri of the tribe of Dan. Notice that they're pointing out who this was. And they put him in custody. They arrested him for cussing. They arrested him for profanity, that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed, And then at all who heard him laid their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin, and whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who was born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Talk about taking care of the population explosion in our world today. There wouldn't be a lot of people alive today. But think about this. Here's a man, and he is fighting, and he curses God, and all of a sudden these people come, and they're horrified, and they come, and they grab him, and they take him, and they lock him up in some kind of a jail sort of a thing, and they go and say to Moses, we got a problem. This man over here cursed God. What are we going to do? You know what God said? Can you see this? Can you feel how this happens? Here's this young man. He's there, and they bring him out, and they put him in the middle of everybody. And everybody that heard him, they go put their hand on his head. Everybody. And he's feeling all of these hands on his head. We heard you curse God. And then they back up, and they start picking up stones, and they start throwing them, and they start throwing them. And this kid is killed by stoning, and he is stoned to death. They locked him up, verse 12, that the mind of the Lord might be shown to them. That's the mind of the Lord. God's attitude about profaning his name is the penalty is death. You know, and that's he's to be put to death. And that happened to this kid. Can you imagine that being done today? Well, that's the way God feels about these things. You know, the man that we know as Colonel Sanders, the old Colonel Sanders, when he embraced the knowledge of Christ, he said, becoming a Christian cost me half of my vocabulary. That happens to a lot of people. Because their language has to change. And the thing that we've got to understand, and I want to make this perfectly clear, it's very hopeful, very likely, that many of you don't have this kind of a challenge. Maybe you do, and I hope that you'll work on this. Profaning and using God's name in vain is serious. But there's another side that we want to ignore that is just as serious. We think that because a movie uses God's name in vain, well, that's okay. I know. I mean, that's the world we live in. I mean, you know, you walk around Walmart and hear that all the time. And yet we constantly will go watch movies that will use God's name in vain. And I want to suggest to you, do you think God is happy with that as well? Especially since we know that most likely there's going to be strong language or bad language in the movie that we're going to watch. But you know, it wasn't too many times. How many times do we think that it's going to take for God to look down and say, okay, that's third time, I'm not going to like it. I want to suggest to you that if it's one time, God's not happy. And yet we have the idea that, well, that's the world we live in and that I can go and watch movies. It's a matter that there's a lot of ways that you can find out what's in a movie. But I want to tell you from the Word of God that when we close our eyes and think that we can go watch movies and they use God's name in vain, that we are going to be held unaccountable. That is a lie. And when we listen to music and to things that some people call music, and God's name is profaned, or we read books that are filled with language that degrades God, or we allow things on Facebook that degrade the very name and the holy character of God, or we listen to things on the radio that profane and degrade the very name of God, He will not hold us guiltless. God help us, and I mean that literally. To understand that God's name is holy. And it doesn't matter what venue it presents itself. When we allow it and we represent it and say, it doesn't really matter, you're going to need a lot of help when you stand before God explaining that to Him. It is difficult at times when we're maybe watching things or doing things and it is just there. I get all that. We can't insulate ourselves totally from that because, like I said, you could walk through Walmart and hear the thing. But shame on us. Because we watch things to entertain ourselves and God's name is used in vain. Because sometimes it's merely used as an explanation point. Okay, we're not doing the cursing thing. But you see, the problem with an explanation point is that people often use the names of the Godhead to express reactions of all sorts of emotions. Oh my God, they say. OMG. We get that on Facebook a lot. Just because it's OMG doesn't mean that it doesn't mean what it says. Or a lot of shows that, you know, use the phrase, using God's name in vain. Okay, we don't see it being used in its profanity, but using it as an explanation because it is not giving glory to God. What they're saying has nothing to do with God. They're shocked that they're amazed at something and they'll say, "Ho!" And I'll tell you, I'm sad to say it's ruined a lot of shows that I like to watch. There are shows that I've just liked to watch for music or things like that, and I'm thinking, you know, are you serious? Oh, they got to do all that. You see, using God's name as an explanation point is also people who also use the name of Jesus in this manner. When they see something and they feel something and they use His name as an explanation point and they're not giving Him glory. You see, it goes back to the Ten Commandments. It goes back to the fact that says, okay, put me first, respect me for who I am, but you better respect my name. And when we allow this kind of language, whether it's God's name or even Jesus Christ's name, this is just as sinful as using God's name in a cursing manner. And television and movies and all of that is full of this. And we should always be reminded of what Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 12. And this should make us tremble in our boots to realize that when we use those kinds of words and language that the Lord tells us in Matthew chapter 12 and in verse 34, that brood of vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. It's serious. We can use it even just as a cliche. To use His name in vain or to profane His name is to use it in a way to sound spiritual. You know, we'll say, oh, praise the Lord, and it has nothing to do with the Lord. You know. It's using a term that is related to the Lord, and it's not there. And that's, you know, out of context with what it means. You know, the word mercy. When Roy Orbison used it, it didn't have anything to do with God. And so often we will use it just as a cliche and, you know, or, you know, just the expressions of thank you, Jesus, when, you know, they win a touchdown. I get so sick of that. I love football. God has no interest in football. When a man makes a touchdown, it has nothing to do with Jesus Christ or God. He doesn't care about football. He doesn't care about baseball. He doesn't care about any of those things. That is not what we need to emphasize about those things. And yet people use it as a cliche to say that, well, you know, I'm going to give glory to God. No, Jesus condemned this when He said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 that we are not to use vain repetitions. We are not to be of those who will use His name in an unholy manner. And that's what that is. When we allow that kind of language to enter our discussion, when we will give the cliches or a phrase or a word, and it's not really giving the glory to God. And so often the phrase does not fit the circumstance and it is used in an irreverent manner. Jesus said in Matthew 6 verse 9 when He taught us to pray that we are to pray in the Father's name, hallowed be His name. Now, there are times that we do that. There are times that we need to say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. And as a matter of fact, what I'm trying to encourage us to do is not stop using His name, but use His name in the right way. Thank you, God, because you really mean, you know, we're really thanking God for that. Hallowing His name. giving glory to His name, putting the honor back in the message of who God is. Call Him a good God because He is a good God. Invoke His name because of the blessings that He has given us, and realize that the blessings that He has bestowed upon us is that we are to care for one another, and we are to give Him honor because His name is holy and His name is reverent. His name is indeed something to be held in honor. David sums it up in Psalm 29. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Underscore this in your Bibles. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let us lift up our voices to give glory to the power of God's name. Give glory to the name of God. Give it the glory due His name. We need to put God back in our language. We shouldn't go the other way to thinking, oh, we shouldn't do it. We should put God in our language and thank one another because of who God is and what He is. To understand and know that indeed that we have been given the honor to use His name, because there is no salvation any other than the name of Jesus Christ, Acts 4 and verse 12. And that when we confess Christ, that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord is going to be saved, let His name be the power in our life to serve Him and acknowledge His presence in my life and give honor to His name, not profaning His name. Profaning His name is serious. It is deadly serious. It is so very serious. What we are asking and what God is saying is that there needs to be a call to integrity. There is a legend that a young soldier was once brought before Alexander the Great for punishment because the young man had been causing problems among his fellow soldiers. And it was a serious offense, punishable by death. So they brought the young man to Alexander, and Alexander asked the accused, "What is your name?" To which he replied, "Alexander." And the great general, taken aback, responded, "Either change your name or change your conduct." That's good advice. Either change your name or change your conduct. The third commandment is asking us if God can endorse our lives. God has called us to a higher standard, and that includes our name. Unless we forget, we wear the name of the Son of God. We are called Christians because we bear the name of Christ. They were first called Christians in Antioch, Acts 11:26. What does that mean? Because they were serving Jesus Christ. They embodied Him. They represented who He was. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14, what Peter is going to admonish the early saints is they were suffering, and they were suffering of life a lot. And he said that if you're reproached for what? The name of Christ, blessed are you. The Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part He is blasphemed, but in your part He is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a what? As a Christian, don't let him be ashamed. Let him glorify God. Glorify God in this matter. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 19, the admonition of Paul concerning the name of the Lord is, "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands, having the seal." The Lord knows those who are His. That should cause pause right there. The Lord knows those who are His. But He goes on. "And let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We bear the name of Christ. Let's live the name of Christ. Let's live the name of God. But let us also separate and remove the defilement of God's name. And it's going to be hard to do. there are some television shows and movies that you're not going to be able to watch. Well, so what? You may have to throw some music away. You may need to burn some books like they did in the New Testament days. You may have to change friends. But God said that you will not take my name in vain, because I will not hold you guiltless who take my name in vain. Now, it may be a struggle, and it may take some time, but that's a goal that we've got to work for, and that's a goal that we've got to build on. Paul said in Colossians 3:17 that whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to do that. We need to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to give Him glory for all things. And we need to acknowledge Him and understand that what our life is made up of is the service of God, and we're going to give Him glory to His name. We're going to bear the name of Jesus Christ because we are His child, and I'm going to bear the name of God my Father because He is my Father, and I'm going to give honor to my Father. And I'm going to use His name in an honorable and a holy way. If you're not a Christian this morning, if you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, what the Apostle Peter tells us in Acts 2 and 38 is that you need to repent and that you need to be baptized in, did you see that? The name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that's what we implore you to do. That's what we're asking you to come and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Because there's two things that's going to happen. Either we're going to be saved or we're going to be condemned. But it depends on whether or not you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ and whether or not you have obeyed the name of Jesus Christ. Have you obeyed? Please come as together we stand as we sing.